I have a word from God burning my heart for you tonight. We're going through an amazing thing as a world, as a generation, but we serve an amazing God who is up to the task of this moment. My title tonight is God Has a Perfect Grace for Us to Overcome the Perfect Storm. Perfect grace to overcome the perfect storm. I'll be reading from the book of Acts in the 28th chapter. You could follow along. We put our notes on our app, our church app. The Bible says this: Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island they shipwrecked on was Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. Dr. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, penned the book of Acts and is penning the details of this story. They started a fire for us and made us all welcome because it was raining, because it was cold. Then Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and he put them into the fire, and suddenly a viper leaped out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives of the island saw the creature hanging from the hand of Paul, they said to each other, "No doubt this man must be a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." But Paul shook off the viper back into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, "He must be a god." In that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius. When Mary and I were first dating, we would joke we were going to name our son Publius. Thank God we didn't. Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. And when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had disease came and were healed. They honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided everything that was necessary. Father, thank you for your word that lives. Thank you, God, for the scriptures you've given us, the gift of the Bible. Anoint your word, anoint your servant, anoint everyone who is watching or listening. Speak to them in this moment, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, it's a perfect storm. If you read the chapter in front of this, chapter 27, Dr. Luke gives some detail about how intense this hurricane-like storm was. In fact, Luke said it was so bad there was no distinction between night and day. It was just dark. And they threw all their cargo overboard trying to survive. And all hope was literally lost. But an angel appeared to Paul and said, "You're going to make it. You're supposed to go to Rome. And everyone on the ship's going to make it with you." And Paul stood up and preached hope to a hopeless ship. And sure enough, they made it. They were in a storm. Their ship wrecked on the reefs of Malta. In fact, Dr. Luke says that the front of the ship went into the reef, stuck and fastened there, but the back of the ship was being tossed about. That sometimes is like transition. Parts of us get into it, but we're still being tossed about. That the full transition hasn't happened yet. But they all found pieces of wood and everyone made it to shore safely. You know it's a perfect storm because not just one thing happened, 3 things happened simultaneously in one season for Paul. He's in a storm, he's shipwrecked, he gets to land, and then he's snake bit. Literally, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And you could build a case for some kind of expression of theology created by this experience. That's often what people do. They create theology to match their experience. That's what's happening in this moment when many people are laying at the feet of God the blame for a disease that is hurting and killing and causing suffering around the world. Of course, that's not from God. But bad things happen to good people because we live in a fallen and broken world. Christ gave a great summation. This is such a great theological point and really a summation of the philosophy of good and evil. And Christ said this in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus assigned the definition of Satan's behavior, his actions. Here's who Satan is. He's a thief. Here's what he does. He steals, he kills, he destroys. But I've come, what? To restore what he's done. To give you life, and not just normal life, but abundant, overflowing. Life to the maximum. The best life you can have on this planet is a life filled with Jesus. Abundant life. And so there they are, that storm has happened. All of these things have gone wrong. And they come to shore, and Paul's instincts kick in. So instead of pouting, instead of folding his arms and standing under a tree and saying, you know, how could this happen, God? He right away chips in and starts helping. He grabs wood. He was such a servant-hearted leader. And as he throws wood into the fire, the fire that was growing now intensity at one of those branches he threw in, or maybe another man threw in, had a sleeping viper on it. But the moment that viper hit the heat, it leaped out and latched onto the first thing it could reach, and that was the hand, the wrist, the arm of Paul. And everyone in the island recognized the viper. It's a poisonous, deadly viper. And so here comes the viper out against Paul. So many things are happening because of that. So many things can happen. I just want to say this. The same fire that unleashes the enemy's attack against you has the power to destroy him. The same Holy Ghost fire in you, the same fire of God's word that you walk in that makes the devil hate you, gives you authority to overcome him. Don't lose your fire even when you get bit every now and because of it. You shake off those bites, accusations, and attempts of the enemy to disarm you, to dissuade you, to intimidate you. The devil's a liar. Paul knew that wasn't from God. If our theology teaches us that everything bad comes from God, then people accept things they're supposed to shake off. It's simple. If it's not good, it's not from God. It's not God if it's not good. James says it like this: every perfect and good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's not even a shadow of variation. He's so good, there's not even the hint of a suspicious motive or ill intent in him. He's so good. It's impossible to exaggerate how good our God is. He's better than our wildest thoughts about who he is and how good he is. So immediately as that's happening, it just so happened that everyone there witnessed it. So all these natives of Malta, by the way, Malta means flowing with honey. Flowing with honey. It's a portrait of an underground stream of honey, an underground lava flow, not of molten lava, but of heavenly honey, flowing with honey. There's an amazing repeated reality in scriptures and in the kingdom. God calls things that are not as though they were. The honey wasn't flowing yet on Malta, but by the end of our story, it would be. God would fulfill the destiny and purpose of this island through the ministry of Paul and Luke. God's going to have you fulfill your real identity, your real name. God's going to have the church be the beautiful bride. Everything that we're called to be, called to do, called to achieve, we're going to. Because our God is so good and his promises are so real. So all the natives look at Paul, and so they come to a conclusion. They weren't evil people, but they had a theology that said, if something bad happens to you, you must be a bad person. So they judged him because he was snake bit. Be careful not to judge people when they're going through hardship, trouble, and difficulty. Be careful not to assume you know why someone is going through something. It is dangerous to look at someone and have a different opinion and have a criticism that is at odds with what God thinks about that person. Paul was the most righteous person on that boat, the most righteous person on that island or in that nation. And yet he went through a troubling season. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. God's promise to you is you can shake off every time the enemy assaults you with fear, with discouragement, with a bad report, with any other compromising, condemning attack. You can shake off and overcome the enemy's lies. People will watch you the closest when your life is the hardest. Now everybody's watching. It's always a setup when a crowd has gathered to watch your setback, because God's going to make them witnesses of your comeback. So here's a crowd, they're watching him. Paul shook off the viper back into the fire. And they looked at him, the Bible says, for a continued long season of time. They kept looking. And they kept expecting the consequence of the bite, the viper, the poison, to take its normal outcome. And the longer they looked, the more their minds began to change about Paul. The more they began to adjust their attitudes. Here's what they thought. Here's what they looked at Paul and said, well, if that viper would have bit me, I don't think I'd still be alive. I don't think I could stand there. That man's not swollen. He's not fallen down dead. And they all knew if the viper had bit them, one of those two things would have happened. So they changed their minds. Now, here's my point. It never matters what other people think about you. It never matters what people think about you. But it always matters what you think about yourself. Paul didn't care that he was criticized. He didn't care about the opinions, the speculations, the gossip, the rumors, the public shame, whatever he was going through. Because he knew who he was. He was on a mission from God, okay? He was an ambassador of the kingdom of God, sent to Rome. He knew nothing could stop him from getting there. That was God's will. He knew no weapon formed against him could prosper. He knew, like Christ said, that we would tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the works of the enemy. But Christ promised, you'll take up vipers and they shall not harm you. He knew the promises of God. He knew who he was. His identity was not shaken by his circumstances. We're not called to change our identity to match our circumstances. We're called to change our circumstances to match our identity. We're God's kids. We're the children of God. And we have the grace to overcome. We have the authority. There's a perfect grace for you, my dear friend, to overcome this perfect storm. I know there's individual battles and vast different kinds of ways that people are going through suffering and hardships now. I just know this. God's grace is so powerful. It is always up to the task to help us, to provide for us, to deliver us, no matter what we're going through. They kept watching Paul and nothing happened. And one by one, the light bulbs went off in this massive crowd. And they changed their minds and said, that guy is not normal. He must be a god. They changed their minds. People will change their mind about you. God never will. God will never stop loving you. There's nothing you could do to make him stop loving you. There's nothing you could do to make him unown you. There's nothing you could do to make him leave you, abandon you, reject you. There's nothing you could do to make him shame you, disown you, discard you. He'll never change his mind about you. And he's helping us to have the mind of Christ and to think right about life. And especially the most important thing in life is what you believe about God. But the second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. It's impossible to see the world right when you see yourself wrong. The way we see ourselves determines the way we see everything else. God's helping us to adopt our kingdom identity, which opens up every promise of God and the destiny that we were made for in the kingdom of God. Well, they changed their minds, and then he went to Publius' house and healed him, his father. And it's so interesting, just maybe hours or days before, he laid hands on and watched the father of Publius be healed, the devil tried to kill him with the poison. Here's my point. Your greatest anointing will be in the same area where the enemies unleashed his greatest attack. Your greatest anointing. Pastor, what's my destiny? Well, where's the devil hit you the hardest? Because God, that's where God's going to anoint you the greatest. And every person on the island was healed. Why? Because one person shook off the poison of fear, the poison of not knowing his identity, the poison of condemnation from the whole island, the poison of discouragement. Can you imagine how discouraged he must have felt? He's been in a weeks-long storm. They're shipwrecked and had to swim to shore holding pieces of wood. And now on shore, he's snake bit. And instead of being discouraged, he shook it off and said, not today, devil. Not today, Satan. Nope, not today. That's what James says. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil. He will flee. He will flee. He will always flee. That's what the Message Bible says. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll help you. And then yell a loud no to the devil. Tell the devil, not today. Not today, devil. Not today. The devil is a liar. I wore my t-shirt last week, the devil is a liar. Whatever he's been trying to discourage you with. Discouragement is the evidence that we've believed a lie. God's pulling up those weeds of deceptive things that we've believed and freeing our hearts from the grip of discouragement. God has a perfect grace for you, my friend, to get you through this perfect storm. You might say, well, Pastor, things are happening in my family now, my business, things are happening in my marriage. I know the devil is just raging like a wild man, but God's grace is being poured out. It is raining a thunderous, beautiful, heavy rain, a deluge from heaven of strength and grace, of anointing, of encouragement, of life, of revelation, of everything we need. We know a couple of wonderful things. The Bible says this, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:28. I've lived this scripture now. And the scripture says this, we know that all things work together for our good, for the good of them that love God, called by his purpose. All things, here's what we know. All things work together for our good. God makes them. He makes bad things work together for good. He makes hurtful things work together for your good. He makes painful things. He makes the devil's attacks become something he works for good. Joseph, at the end of his life, said something very similar in Genesis chapter 50. After watching God elevate him to be prime minister of Egypt, rescuing his family, rescuing the world from starvation, this great patriarch said this, looking at his brothers who had betrayed him years before, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this very day, the salvation of many people alive. Joseph said, look what God did. Look what God did. The word, Hebrew word for meant, a great word. It means to purpose, to imagine. It means to weave. It's the picture of a weaver weaving a rug or a garment. And he said, you started off weaving something that was really an evil intended thing. But God put his hand on that loom. He put his hand on the sewing machine. He put his hand on your intentions. And he made the design turn out different than you thought it would be. There is nothing in your world so evil that God can't put his hand on it and make some good come out of it. That's how great our God is. On this island, the honey began to flow. God did a miracle for Paul. He survived a shipwreck. He survived a snake bite. He survived the shame of an island condemning him. And suddenly the whole island, there's not, by the time he leaves in just 3 short months, there's not one sick person. There's not one unsaved person. The whole island has revival because one person didn't quit, because one person shook off a very bad report, because one person shook off an attempt from the enemy to assassinate his destiny. It's amazing the consequence when we decide not to quit. The testimonies of so many lives affected and changed because you decided not to quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. The poison of the enemy only works if we agree with it. That poison of fear, of discouragement, whatever it is. It only has power if we lend our agreement to it. There's a Old Testament story I just want to read about kind of in conjunction with this. The story of Samson. And Samson was a miracle child. His parents couldn't have a baby. Prophetically, they did. And he's dedicated to God as a child. And Samson gets in trouble. He falls in love with the wrong woman. And the Bible says this in Judges 14. His father and mother did not know that this thing, that this love affair between Samson and the Philistine woman was from the Lord. That the Lord was looking for an occasion to move against the Philistines. The word occasion is tuana, which means to start a quarrel, pick a fight. God was looking to pick a fight. At that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, came to the vineyards of Timnah. And to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. So he's walking with his mom and dad down to meet his fiance. And out of the bushes come this mountain lion, this fierce beast attacking him. But the moment the lion roared, the anointing of heaven poured, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. And Samson tore the young lion apart as he would have a small young goat, as though it was nothing in his hand. He didn't tell his mother about this experience. He went down and talked to the woman. She pleased him. After some time, he was returning back and to get her. He turned aside to see the carcass. He had killed the lion, thrown it off the road. And to his surprise, a swarm of bees had made a honeycomb. And bees and honey were in the carcass now of the dead lion. He reached in and took some of the honey in his hands and went along eating. Handfuls of honey. Think about this. The lion that tried to kill him now is a sweet meal that is feeding him. He is feeding off of the testimony of a victory God gave him. He's feeding off of the faithfulness of God, the anointing of God that flowed through him. I'm telling you, in your season, if the lion's roaring, the honey of heaven's about to pour, that you're going to find a sweet testimony in this difficult season. And like the island of Malta, or like the story of Samson, you're going to watch God give you such a beautiful delight, a tasteful, beautiful, wonderful testimony of the faithfulness of God. Look what the Lord has done. Like the psalmist said, it was marvelous in our eyes. That's what God has for you. That's what God's going to do for his church around the world. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, there are handfuls of honey for you in this season. There is a river of honey flowing with honey. The honey of heaven, the testimony of God, the victories of heaven, the breakthroughs, the healing, the salvation, the miracle, the turnaround, the comebacks. So many handfuls of honey. God's not just going to give it to a couple of us preachers. God's going to give everybody a testimony this season. Everybody's going to have a testimony of something great God did for them in the same season that the lion of the coronavirus jumped out of the bush and tried to kill him. We're all going to have testimonies of God's protection, God's provision, handfuls of honey, worshiping God for his goodness, thanking him for his faithfulness, testifying to others what he has done for us. And like Paul on Malta, we're going to see other people touched, saved, and healed because of what we've overcome. Yeah, don't give up, because your breakthrough is for more than just you. It's for all the people that God will touch through your life because you didn't quit today. There's a chorus of them in your future. A crowd cheering you on, saying, don't quit. A crowd of people that your life will touch because you didn't quit today. You didn't allow the enemy's snake bite or the enemy's lioness attack. The lion that roared or the snake that bit, trying to stop you in your tracks, trying to hurt you, trying to dissuade you, trying to discourage you, diminish you, make you fearful. God says, shake it off. The moment that lion roared, Samson didn't have time to go to lion taming school. He didn't have time to go to lion killing training. When that lion roared, something came upon him. A perfect grace so he could overcome that perfect storm. That's what God has for you, my precious friend. An anointing, a capacity, a grace, an endowment, a strengthening blessing that's going to carry you through this time. That's going to help you overcome what would have normally taken you out or taken out another person. But you're not another person. You're a child of God. You're loved. You're chosen. You're called. You're anointed. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. And God's got amazing things for you. And he's brought you so far, he's not going to fail you now. He's going to give you another handful of honey. Another great testimony of his abiding faithfulness, of what he is able to do. Because we've trusted him, we've believed him, we have found him to be faithful. And we have seen him do, you're going to do it again. The God that moved mountains then is going to move mountains now. The God that healed the sick then is going to heal the sick now. The God that made a way then is going to make a way now. The God that brought you thus far is going to get you past this storm. Paul didn't stay in Malta very long, just 3 or 4 months. That was all his assignment was. And he was released and he went to Rome as God called him to. But while he was at Malta, he maximized that season by overcoming what the enemy threw at him, by redeeming the time, making the most. And my, oh my, can you imagine the joy on Malta as they're waving goodbye to Dr. Luke and Apostle Paul, men that had changed their life, that had introduced them to the kingdom, men that had overcome evil with good, men that shook off poisonous vipers, men that laid hands on the sick and saw miracles. They're celebrating. They're so grateful that these men unexpectedly were shipwrecked on their island. There's all kinds of divine encounters, divine appointments that we're going to have in this next season. All kinds of things that we didn't schedule, we didn't plan, and we didn't intend. But yet God is going to use these appointments, these encounters, to do amazing things. No matter what you're going through, maybe you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm a snake bit. It's okay. Good people go through bad things because we live in a broken and fallen world, because the devil's real. But my word to you is shake it off. There's an overcoming grace on you to make it through this. The only thing you can't overcome is the thing you think you can't overcome. You can't overcome. Why? You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things to Christ who strengthens you. Greater is the one inside of you than he that's in the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. By nature, by birthright, by inheritance, by grace, by your inheritance in Christ, you're more than a conqueror. You're a world changer. You're a history maker. And God's going to help you make it through this. I pray now, whatever is happening, whatever kind of chaos, maybe you feel like you're in an actual perfect storm. So much financial pressure, family tensions, uncertainty, fearfulness about the future. But I'm here to tell you, God's got this. God's not done with your story. Don't give up now. He's going to give you an amazing end. Give him the chance to write a good ending to this chapter. Join with God. Let your faith trust God when you can't figure out even what he's doing. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the avalanche of negative media. Believe the Holy Spirit. Believe God's word. Believe what God's saying to you. Believe his promises. Believe the prophetic words God's given you. Stand in full confidence that what God has promised, he's able to perform. Knowing this, like Paul said, I'm confident that he has begun a very good work and he will finish it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to do it for you, child of God. Father, I thank you for miracles. Miracles for the sick. Someone's been fighting a real battle with depression. You've been through depression before. It's spiking again. I declare in Christ's name, by the blood and name of Jesus, that you are free. Thank you, God, for a grace, an overcoming grace for that person right now. Someone's home, everyone in the home, almost simultaneously. It's rarely ever been like this, but there's four of you in a home. All of you feel discouraged. But I feel like the Lord says, tell them I'm with them and they're going to make it through this. And nighttime is quickly going to end and there's a morning coming when everything's going to look different. Someone's been battling a legal matter that's been complex and ongoing. I heard the Lord say there's a ruling from heaven. God's ruling in your behalf. I declare over anyone battling a physical infirmity like Paul, who should have dropped down dead, but the grace of God, the promise of God, the Spirit of God, the name of Jesus allowed him to overcome. I declare healing into your body, precious friend. No matter where it is, no matter what you need, God is able. No matter where you're hurt, he can help you. God, I thank you for lifting heaviness off of people's hearts. God, we take authority now. I speak freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I speak freedom to anyone battling fearfulness, panic attacks, overwhelming anxiety, sleeplessness, insomnia, any other kind of nervous reaction to this season. I declare the peace that passes all understanding to you. You're going to make it through this. You're going to overcome. God's going to help you shake off what the enemy is trying to kill you with, the enemy is trying to defeat you with, what the enemy is trying to assault you with. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Shake it off. You're more than a conqueror. Shake it off. The best is yet to come. Shake it off. God will restore the years to you. Shake off the poison of discouragement. And just know that God will work all things together for your good. If it's not good yet, it simply means God's not done yet. That's how much he loves you. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Bless your people. Thanks for listening tonight. May God be with you. You're going to overcome. God is a perfect grace for you to overcome this perfect storm. God bless you.